happy, happy, happy holiday to everybody. And I'm very happy I'm giving the class tonight. Even I know a lot of people on vacation, the roads are empty. Beautiful in LA, you can drive, no traffic. And after January, as we promised people, we're going to change it to 7:30. So it'd be more comfortable for people to do it. So the week portion is basically the last portion of Bereshit, the last portion of Genesis. It's called Vayechi. And we know that the Torah is divided into five books. Every book is corresponding to Sefirah. So the Sefirah, the first Sefirah of the book of Moses, is Keter. So the last parsha of the book of Keter is Malchut of Keter, meaning the manifestation of Keter. And that's why those of you who go usually to Shabbat to hear the Torah, very important this parsha to hear the Torah. Why? Because it concludes all what you missed the entire year from the beginning of Rosh Hashanah. Worth it. It's a good deal. You go in the last parsha, you get the whole thing. Now, Vayechi, what's the story of Vayechi? You know, in the Torah, it's something very funny. Every time you have the word Chaim, like life, you talk about the death of somebody. Chaye Sarah, you talk about the death of Sarah. Vayechi Yaakov, you talk about the death of Yaakov. Everything is about, so why you call it Vayechi? You should call it just, it's telling you, special people, tzaddikim, like Sarah, like Jacob, in the last day of their life, the last day of their life, there is a revelation of everything they did so far. Meaning, usually, somebody who's wicked, you can wait for them to die, right? So when they die, it doesn't matter if they die or they're alive, it doesn't matter. But when somebody who's tzaddik, somebody who's righteous, leaving the world, the day that he manifests all the energy is the day that they die. Now you know why we light a candle for righteous people who die. You know, you take a candle, you light it, everybody should do it. And you need to know, it's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Dayan Lag Baomer, right? Yudchet Iyar, 18 days of the month of Taurus. You light a candle for him. Because you know, on that day, that is a revelation. That's the day that he was revealed. Everything is revealed. So it's quite important. The parasha is discussing, and we're going to go deep into it, that Jacob basically calling all his son, but first he's calling his son Yosef, and he's telling him, please don't bury me in Egypt, and bring me your two children, which is his grandchildren, and he blessed them, and he gave them a part of the land of Israel, which is unusual, because the other grandchildren don't get any peace. Only those two grandchildren, which we have to answer later, why they and not the other, getting a portion. And in the end, of course, Vayechi, it continues, and he's telling you that Jacob blessed all the other brothers, the sons, and then he died, and then he's telling you about that Joseph died, and Vayamat, and then they all die. Almost like the end up of chapter one of the story, because next week, Exodus, we're starting with Ele Shemot Ben Israel, meaning those are the name of the Israelites who live in Egypt. So the portion of Vayechi is giving us basically almost like an injection to be able to handle exile. Because next week we're going into exile. Whatever happened in the Torah at that week, that will happen in that week for us. So next week we're going to Egypt. We're going to exile. That's it. No Yosef, no Yaakov, no star, no Superman. Okay? No, what else? Batman or the other hero. We're going to Egypt. It's called Shemot. It's called Exodus. Of course, portion after you have Moshe, Rabbeinu, Moses. Because in every dark moment, there is a revelation of light. You can't reveal the light if there is no darkness. You need darkness to reveal the light. So every time you complain about some darkness you're going in your life, you're missing the point. How can light be revealed if everything is perfect? How would you appreciate the light? How would you appreciate health if you're not sick? Right? When you have pain, you appreciate, such a pleasure, such a nachat. Right? You take people from Miami or from Los Angeles to vacation, they don't appreciate it. People in LA and Miami cannot appreciate vacation. What are you talking about? I want to go back home. Why? Nothing going on. Well, we have a blue water. I have blue water too. Well, this water is bluish. No. People in Miami, they try to go vacation to Bahamas. And then they depress. I'm telling you. Nothing. There's nothing going on. Food is worse. And because they want to go back home to where it's very difficult. You take people from New York, you send them anywhere in that storm, 20 degrees. Fahrenheit. So my friend now took vacation. He said, he called me, Mechaye. I said, where are you? I said, between Boca Raton and Palm Beach. And I know that area, where 11 years I lived there. So what Mechaye there? Let me tell you, I can't take the cold anymore. Everything, the trees, we don't appreciate that. You need darkness
so you can see what you have in your life. Unfortunately, that's the way it goes. When you have everything perfect in your life, it's very difficult to see. Vayechi, vayechi, the word vayechi, vayechi, again, is the whole idea of livelihood. Now let's go a little bit into the Zohar. Michelle will read it to us. And we see what I call fulfillment and happiness. What exactly happened with Jacob? Why is the Torah mentioned that he lived 17 years in Egypt? Why do I care to know about it? What's its whole purpose? Because, you know, when Joseph was 17, he was sold to slavery. 17 years of the last years of Jacob, he was with his son Joseph. So it's almost like the first 17 years of Joseph's life and the last 17 years of Jacob's life, they were together. So at least he has some nachat. So let's understand more the concept of happiness. Please, Michelle.
Rabbi Shimon said, it is written above, and Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt in the country of Goshen. And they took possession of it and grew it and multiplied exceedingly, which means they lived in luxury like kings. The verse is followed by, and Jacob lived without any space between the verses. This indicates that we should not separate the two verses. As Israel lived in luxury and had pleasure and were short of nothing, so did Jacob live in luxury and pleasure. Therefore, the verses are not separated.
Okay, you need to know, in every portion in the Torah, there is separation between one parsha to another. This is the only parsha, the only section in the Torah, that there is no space. It seemed like it continued from last week portion. They didn't give space. What is that space? When you write it on the scroll, usually between the letter, there is a space like that, okay? Or even a line. This one has a letter space like that. You cannot even find it where it is. It's telling us they live in luxury, but we need to understand it deeper. Go ahead, please.
Here in Egypt, it is considered that Jacob lived, for it was considered life for him. It was not said of him, Jacob lived all of his life, for his life was not that, was that of sorrow. Of him it is written, I had no repose in Laban's house, nor had I rest from Esau, nor was I quiet, because of Dinah and Shechem. Yet trouble came of selling Joseph. But after he went down to Egypt, it is said of him, and Jacob lived. He saw his son, a king. He saw all of his sons pure and righteous, living in pleasure and luxury, and he dwelling in their midst as good wine resting on its lees. Then it is said, and Jacob lived. Therefore, there is no separation, no space, between, and grew and multiplies exceedingly. And Jacob lived, and so it should be, that one being the continuance of the other.
So the idea is, the Zohar tried to bring us, again, it's still simple here, what we call simple of the Zohar, that in life, and how is it relate to us, in life, you know, I don't know how many of you ever went through a tough problem in your life, family problem, issue, relationship, money. Sometimes you feel like, what's going on? When am I going to see something good in my life? And they say when Jacob leave, meaning we all should have the merit, Bezal Hashem, with the help of God, to see the good of our living here. And the idea is sometimes you don't. Sometimes you go into a problem. We all have issues. We all have something that is difficult. But we have to understand that if you be patient enough and authentic enough, what is authentic? What is to be real? You know, to be real, people think it's just to tell the truth. To be real is to be real with yourself. Who are you? Who are you to yourself? Will nobody hear you? Are you real with yourself? Are you true to yourself? Do you know who you are? Do you know what you're doing? Are you confessed to one person in the world what you're doing wrong? Do you have that one person in your life? Why you need to confess? It's not just you're going to a church and just confess in front of a booth and you don't know who's the other side. You need to confess because it's help you. It helps you to remember, hey, this is who I am. And there is one person in the world that you can do it with. And if you cannot do it with one person, then you are not in Vayechi. You're not in Vayechi, you're fake. And if you're fake, how are you going to enjoy life? People who are fake draw fake things to enjoy. And when they draw the fake things to enjoy, what happened? It seemed like they enjoy, but they don't really enjoy. If I ask a person who uses cocaine every day, what is making you happy? Cocaine. You can never understand life without it. If I ask a person who's rich but is miserable, what makes you happy? He will say money. But he will never understand what true happiness means. But Yechi is to get into a place that you actually live. And unfortunately, many people not reach that point.
Jacob suffered a lot to get to that point. Suffered a lot. A lot. The question, are you ready to do whatever it takes that you have a true essence of happiness and a true essence of vayechi? Or you want to do a shortcut? It's okay to do a shortcut. Because shortcuts sometimes feel great. But if you would feel how much more you can feel better than that shortcut, would you still take the shortcut? The answer is no. The reason we take the shortcut because we don't believe. We don't believe in ourselves. We don't believe in the creation of the creator. There is a possibility of better. We don't believe. So you have to cheat. You have to lie. You have to impress. You have to want to be accepted. Why you don't let go of that girlfriend or boyfriend or situation or business or whatever? You don't believe in yourself. Forget them. You don't believe there is a possibility of a good life. Don't believe. So what I'm going to do? Cheat. Steal. You're never going to get to Vayechi. Jacob went to hell. Nothing worked for him. He believed. He was authentic. He was real. So slowly, slowly, he invited the real thing to come. It took some long time. Some of us who read this story said, I don't want to wait for the last 17 years of my life. We don't live 147 years. Some people hardly live 86 years. So 86 minus 17, what is it? 59? Yeah. What is it? 59? 69. 69. Do you want to wait till 69 to have a good life? No. Can I have it when I'm 40?
Yeah.
That's what people say. Yes. And that's the point, my friend. That's the point. Let's continue. Go ahead.
17 years, he asks. Why 17 years? He answers. Rabbi Shimon said that Jacob was sorrowful all his life, and his days passed in sorrow in the beginning. When he saw Joseph standing before him, Jacob looked at Joseph, and his soul was made whole, as if he saw Joseph's mother. For the beauty of Joseph resembled that of Rachel, and it seemed to him as if he had never known sorrow.
Go ahead.
When Joseph departed from him, it came to pass that I had no repose, nor had I rest, nor was I quiet, yet trouble came. For this trouble was harder to Jacob than everything that came over him. When Joseph was separated from him, it is said Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock. All his days Jacob had no such sorrow. He used to weep every day for the 17 years of Joseph.
When Joseph was 17, he looked like his mom. The love that Jacob has for Rachel is tremendous. So here we're teaching us two things. First thing, love. Do you have somebody you love? Do you have one person in your life that you love? People who are not authentic cannot love. They cannot love. They are busy, too busy to impress others. They are too busy to make sure that others understand the smart, the beautiful, the rich. They're presenting all kind of things to sell it. They sell people. What are they selling? They're selling themselves. Which part of themselves they're selling? The non-authentic part, the lie part, because it's faster. So what kind of people they're drawing into their life? Fake.
The same.
Fake, exactly. They're drawing the fake people because it's easier for the fake people to buy that product when it's fake. So most people live in fake. Jacob was not like that. When he looked at his son Joseph, he said, my God, he looked like your mother. And even if he was going through a tough time, he just understood that what was his life purpose? To love that woman named Rachel. Yes, he ended up married to Leah. Yes, he ended up married to the two slaves or the two concubines, whatever you want to call them, shfachot, servant or slave. But he loved Rachel. The only place that in the Torah it mentioned that he had a wife, only Rachel. He doesn't call Leah his wife. He considered Leah as a concubine too, because she was pushed on him in the middle of the marriage, if you know the story. He didn't want to marry her. So Rachel was his soulmate for him. Even from a spiritual point of view, eventually Leah and him together. But look at that, guys. Look how powerful is the love. When you love someone, it keeps you going. It keeps you going. Even a memory of love keeps you going. Even the desire to love keeps you going. Love is what you should ever fall off your eyes. And love you can only find if you're authentic. If you fake, you're going to find fake love. There's a lot of fake love out there. People will tell you what you want to hear, and you're going to tell them what they want to hear. Now, how do you get to a place like Jacob? How do you get to Vayechi? How do you get to be real? First, don't be afraid to be you. Don't be afraid to be you. You are the most beautiful thing that exists if you are you. But you are the ugliest thing that exists if it's not you. If you're not you, you're ugly. You're actually ugly. Can you imagine a chicken who tried to be like zebra?
Yeah.
Does it look good? Striped chicken. Does it look good?
Not really.
Can you imagine? Yeah, can you imagine a cow who tried to be a human? Drinking beer in the bar. Weird. We laugh now because it's funny. Because I took it to another level. But think about it. Us. Try to be not us. Not good. So why am I afraid to be me? Where does it come from? There is addiction. It's not in Kabbalah. It's also in psychology. Called acceptance. Most addictions start from need to be accepted in society. It's a need. It's a need. It's a very normal need. It's a necessity for society to have it. But depends how far it takes you. Sometimes you want to be accepted. You forget who you are. It's very difficult.
You become a politician.
You become a politician. You become diplomatic. You become manipulator.
Movie star.
Soft manipulator. You learn that life. Life do it to us. Yeah. Life do it to us. You're allowed to become a little bit soft talk, but don't forget your core. Don't forget where you come from. And don't be ever ashamed where you come from. I remember, you know, my grandmother and my grandfather was Orthodox Jew. But Sephardic Orthodox Jew, so the wife, you know, she covered her head with some piece of fabric that looks scary. So you don't want to be seen next to you. Even they are holy people. They were very holy people. I don't want to sit next to them as a teenager. I was embarrassed. So I want to hide. That nobody know that I ever go to see them. It was embarrassing. So I was ashamed of my roots. I'm proud of my roots now. But at that moment, I was ashamed because I was not real. I want just to be accepted by others. We need to get into a place that love become your goal. But don't love as we think we know it. Because when we think about love, we are waiting for somebody to love me. Or we're waiting for somebody to accept me. But start by loving who you are as you are. I'm not just talking about the look, if you're fat or thin or tall or short. Talk about your personality is unique. Don't lose that. It's the original one, the original. Don't lose it. The original, hold it. That's you. It's so special. With your mistake too, hold it. It's so unique. Who will learn it from? King David. King David came to God one time and said, God, you consider me righteous? God said, of course. How come you never test me? Test me. He said, King David, you're never going to make it. Said, what are you saying? God, test me too. He said, I know your personality. I created you. You're not going to make it. He said, how come you test Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses? Said, me too. So King David comes back from the war. There's a beautiful lady on a donkey. And they're riding it. She had that skirt made of fabric in those days. And it broke. So her leg was showing. She has a beautiful leg. King David, instead of looking to the side and restricting himself with sexuality, he looked after her and he started following her. The army going this way and he followed her, the donkey. So the voice of God came from the heaven and said, David, that was a test. What King David answered God? He said, God, I never want to break your words. You say I'm not going to pass. I'm making sure I'm not going to pass the test. So the Zohar said about this section, that it says that he brought laughter to the angels above, King David. It's not fair. I mean, we many times being honest and we don't bring laughter. Because King David say whoever he is, he stick to whatever he is. He know his weakness. The Gemara, the Talmud said, look what the Talmud said. Yelamed Adam atzmo lagid lo yodea. A person should teach himself to say, I don't know once a day. I don't know. When you have an argument or conversation, are you capable to hold it and say, I really don't know, can you teach me? If you cannot do that, something is not real about you. That's the first thing. But let's finish this part before we go to something deeper.
They reply to him from heaven, and Joseph shall put his hand on your eyes. Here are other 17 years for you, in pleasure and delight, luxury and lack for nothing. This is the meaning of, and Jacob lived in the land of Egypt for 17 years. Come and see, the Shekinah of the glory of the Holy One, blessed be He, was with him all those years, for which reason all those years in Egypt are called life.
Keep going.
Come and see, it is written, the spirit of Jacob their father revived, From this we understand that his spirit was dead earlier, and also he had no intention of drawing and receiving another spirit, as a supernal spirit does not dwell on an empty place. Rabbi Yossi said the Shekhinah dwells only in a whole spot, not in a place of deficiency or sadness, but a proper place, a place of joy. Therefore, the Shekhinah did not rest upon him for all those years that Joseph had been separated from his father and Jacob was in sadness.
So remember, sadness, sometimes you have to go to that. It's life. Depression, sadness, panic. But just make sure that you are there just for a while, just for a certain amount of time, then get out. But if you're sad all the time, you're fake. If you're happy all the time, you're also fake. Because life is a circle. You have to go to the low, you have to go to the high. When you go into the low, you know the high is coming. When you're in the high, you also have to believe that the low is coming. You have to understand life is a circle. It's like that, always. So when he was sad, he was not able to know that Joseph is alive because he was a prophet. And the last part for this section, please.
We learn that Rabbi Elazar said that Rabbi Abba said, it is written, serve Hashem with gladness, come before his presence with singing. The verse teaches us that the service of the Holy One, blessed be He, should only be performed through joyfulness, as said Rabbi Elazar, that the Shekhinah does not dwell upon sadness. It is written, but now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played. He asks, for what reason is the word play mentioned three times in this verse? He answers, in order to awaken the spirit from which the source of wholeness, Zeranpin, which includes the three columns, the whole spirit. Three times play corresponds to its three columns.
Now, what is the three column? The three column, of course, you understand music and fun and everything. Three column has a name. Has a name. It's called Chesed, Gvura, and Rachamim. This is the whole idea of Chesed, Gvura, Rachamim. Come and fix it, please. Chesed means mercy. Gvura means strength of judgment. And Rachamim also means, in a way, mercy. You know? It also means mercy. But Rachamim, it's almost like kindness. So the center column is basically the whole idea of putting the two things together. What is chesed? What you should be doing. What is gvura? What you should stop be doing. Both of them are built. So in your personality, you have to have both. You cannot have just what I'm excited to be doing. Thank you. You don't want just what you're excited to be doing. Because many people are what they're busy with. They're busy with what I'm excited about, right? I'm excited to do this. I'm excited to help people. I'm excited to help somebody cross the street. But you have to have gvura. What is gvura? Sometimes you need to shut up. Sometimes you have to stop doing things. That's gvura. If you don't have both sides, you don't get to rachamim. You can never be merciful. Somebody who just have kindness, like chesed, and the end will be cruel. Somebody who's cruel eventually will be eventually mercy, but without control. So those two columns are balancing you to get to Rachamim. So the Zohar is telling you that's three columns build what we call a true happiness. Because there is happiness, there is people, stand-up comedian, they're not happy, they're miserable. They're miserable. In their real life, I met a few of them, they're miserable. So how come they're funny? Well, they get it out to get the crowd to clap in, because they're very empty. So they have gvura, very sad life, by the way. Most stand-up comedians. There is a movie that came out by Robert De Niro. I think it's called The Comedian or something like that. Very good movie. Sad, but very good movie. Sad, very sad. So be ready. It's a little bit depressing about what a comedian has to go through because you have to be fake. You have to be real fake, real good fake, really good fake because a bad fake will be caught by the crowd. So the only idea of true happiness, to find true happiness, you need to have the three columns of Zeranpin. You have to see that you're acting balance. You have side of you that do the good thing, stopping the bad thing, and then reach into Rachamim, reach into merciful. The merciful will come as a result. But if you don't know how to stop the bad thing that you are doing, and you're only excited doing the great thing that you are doing, expect the result which to be very bad. Sorry, very bad. Very bad. You must find the three column in your personality. You cannot just, I'm doing the good thing. You know, whatever, you're Christian, Muslim, Jewish, Hindu. There is a lot of good things to do and a lot of bad things you shouldn't do. Shouldn't. Can't do it. Can't insult somebody in public. Can't. If there is special situation, yes. But most of the time, can't. Can't. Well, but I did 20 good things today, chesed. So what? So what? Those chesed that you did 20 is unbalanced because you didn't do 20 stop. So now you're like this. You understand what I'm saying? So you have 20 giving and you're supposed to stop 20 what you're not supposed to receive. You did only one. So now you're minus 19 on gvura. So your whole personality is gvura now. It's terrible. You have to balance. You have to balance. If you, there is personality, people who are very excited to do good things, they miss gvura. There's a lot of people who are miserable. They're sad. They're only stopping all day long not to do bad things. They're very religious usually. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do it. But they're excited to do the good thing? No, nothing. Zero. So the personality is now plus 20 on gvura, zero or one on chesed. So they have too much leaving to the chesed. Nothing left. So they're miserable because they're only gvura. You got to find the balance. That's why in the Torah, you have 613 precepts that call mitzvot. Right? We have 248 positive and 365 negative. So the Torah is giving us, on Gvura, I say do 365. On Chesed, do only 248. It's weird industry, right? We should say, hey, excuse me. For example, respecting your parents is Chesed. Doing the Shabbat, Chesed. Don't steal, Gvura. Don't kill, Gvura. Don't cheat, Gvura. Where does this cheating come from? Why people ever need to cheat? What's happening? I mean, they're tired of the husband, the wife, or the friend, the partner. What? I have to cheat. Now, in some city, since I become a coach and I get so many phone calls, there is some city in the world that it's cheating is part of the...
culture.
Huh?
Culture.
It is a culture.
Yeah.
They agree, both sides.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
So I went to coaching session with family. I didn't know what I was getting into. I thought I knew everything. I heard everything. There's nothing I didn't hear. So many years of doing it. And then I started helping. After 1 hour, it was 3 hour session, I realized that I didn't get the picture. So, and they look at me. You know, when they have this situation, they look at you and you look at them. And they got it that you don't get it. And you start getting it through their eyes that you're actually not getting it. And I'm looking. I said, am I getting the picture? And they both, you know, the couple. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Let's start again. So the husband is so smart. If we start again, the first hour is for free. I said, okay. Pieces. If you didn't get it, I said, I'm sorry. I mean, I heard everything, but this is a little new. And the idea is, where's the need to cheat? Because you don't believe you get more. Your relationship, you have to go somewhere else. If I don't get a cheesecake here, I have to go steal it. I have to go do something. But the idea is, it's going back to love and authentic. Are you in a place where you want to be? Or are you just rested there? Or you just landed there? Sometimes in the airport, you landed in the wrong airport. There is bad weather. They put you in Vermont. You ever been in Vermont? Nobody been in Vermont. You been in Vermont? So I've been in Vermont. It's not the airport. I want to end up there. You know, I'm in Vermont. Forest, cold, come on, waiting for my flight. So you landed in Vermont. There is, next to it, there is Air Force Base. Yeah. Sitting there, nothing going on. So the idea is sometimes you land in the wrong relationship, you have to know how to, if it's not real, out, you know? But you don't have to cheat. So, of course, many couples come to me and say, yeah, sometimes it's too late, you know, we have children, we have this. Always there is a solution. Because you don't cheat your partner. You know who you're cheating?
Yourself.
You're cheating yourself. Because you don't believe that there is a way out. You don't believe. Most crime, most stealing, most killing. You know, if you talk to people in prison, what you find out, they never have a bad heart. They never gvura. Right. Those killers in prison, they're chesed. They're nice people. How can they kill them? They kill in the name of justice. In the name of justice, a woman was abused, Tanya should come at night to the man, take a knife, take his neck off. Right? Story in the Bible would be okay with that, right?
Yeah.
And now time, it's not. In the Bible, right? Judith, the Maccabee, nice. She seduced the man who fight with her people, right? Dressed some sexy, come to his tent, take his head off. Yael, I mean, it's all over the Bible. Yael, you know, come to Sisra, a giant guy. He said, listen, I really like the way you look, and something, I don't know, that. Into his tent, head off. Those women were tough. And it's not considered like they didn't go to prison for life or electric chair. They were the hero after that. They come with their head out the tent. Interesting time. But we live in a time that the law is the law, right? So we have to be honest with ourselves first. So please, remember, three column system, meaning that the happiness can come when you act chesed, gvura, v'rachamim, or chesed, gvura, tiferet, if you wish. You got to find your balance in your life. If you are a person that you are excited to do good, then look for how to stop doing bad. If you are very good on doing bad, which means you are very strict on yourself, then learn to do good. You got to find the balance. You can't just do whatever you want, you know? For example, there is some people who are very excited on Sukkot. You know, Sukkah, you build the Sukkah, everybody dance. But then you tell them, you need to learn to be quiet for a week. They can't do it because they can't stop. Okay, so it's very, very important. Now, I want to give you a section from the Torah now. And that section from the Torah, we're going to read it pretty fast because it's not deep or anything. But please listen to the story. It's a story from this week, Parasha. And it will give you an idea where am I taking you. Okay, please go ahead.
Jacob made Egypt his home for 17 years. He lived to be 147 years old. When Israel realized that he would soon die, he called for his son Joseph. If you really want to do me a kindness, he said, place your hand under my thigh. Act toward me with truth and kindness and do not bury me in Egypt. Let me lie with my fathers. Carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their grave. I will do as you say, replied Joseph. Swear to me, said Jacob. Joseph made an oath to him, and from where he was on the bed, Israel bowed.
Keep going.
A short time after this, Joseph was told that his father was sick. Joseph went to his father, taking his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, along with him. When Jacob was told that Joseph was coming to him, Israel summoned his strength and sat up in bed. Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty once appeared to me in Luz, in the land of Canaan. He blessed me and said to me, I will make you fruitful and numerous, and have you give rise to an assembly of nations. I will give the land to you and your descendants as their property forever.
Okay, so far, simple story. Jacob, Yosef, is about to die. He's calling him, and he's telling him his life story, what he went through. And he asks him, promise him, don't bury me in Egypt. Why not Egypt? Egypt's considered Ervat Haaretz. The land of the universe, the land, the entire globe, is divided to the human organ. Human organs. You need to know. Human organs. So, for example, the heart of the whole globe is Israel, the middle of the heart is Jerusalem, the middle point of the heart is the Kodesh HaKodeshim, is the temple. So now you know why it's important, okay? Erva is the lowest place of the body where you go to the bathroom. Okay, that's Egypt. That's what they call Egypt. So now you know why. Where is Egypt. So that's why you know the pyramid looked like that, meaning me, and myself. And that's why they worship a place called Peor. Peor means Pe. Or the peh of the erva, the mouth of the erva, because they consider, forgive me for the video, but I have to say it, it's in the Zohar. The mouth of the toilet was the mouth of the god. And they worship the god by doing that. You should read more in Google about it. It's called Peor, the god of Peor. Peor, the mouth of, you know what, I don't want to say it, but it's there. Now listen carefully from this point on, it's very important. Go ahead.
Now the two sons who were born to you in Egypt before I came here shall be considered as mine. Ephraim and Manasseh shall be just like Reuben and Simeon to me. Any children that you have after them, however, shall be considered yours. They shall inherit only through their older brothers. When I was coming from Padan, your mother, Rachel died on me. It was in Canaan, a short distance before we came to Ephrath. I buried her there along the road to Ephrath.
Which is Bethlehem. all the people tonight is there or last night. Guys, my dear friend, we have a problem here. Why is Jacob mention Rachel here? He should mention it where? Let me help you so you can see it with me. Here. Bury me in their grave. That's a place to talk about the death of Rachel. Why is this section mentioned here? That's the first question. Second question, why is there only two grandchildren getting a portion of Israel? Third question, why the other children of Joseph who were born after them don't get portion in Israel? They're also grandchildren. How come they don't get? They were included in Menashe and Ephraim. Because of our time short, I will answer those questions myself. All right. I need to take you back in time. Do you remember the story with Reuven? Reuven, the firstborn of Jacob. After Rachel died, if you look at the Bible, and I hope you will after this class, it say that Reuven, English, they say it like this. It's very tough to the ears, but I have to say what the translation said. That Reuven slept with his father's servant or slave. Her name is Bilhah. It's shocking. I mean, really? Now, when you go to the Talmud, the Talmud say, whoever say that Reuven ever did it or he ever seen, doesn't even understand nothing about the Torah. So, hey, excuse me. The Torah said he slept with her, with the wife of his father. And the Talmud said it never happened. So we need to understand. We have to go deep. We have to swim. Swim. What happened there? Rachel was the mother of Joseph and Benjamin. So far, are you with me? Okay. The mother of Reuben is, what's her name? You remember? Leah. Leah, good. Leah and Rachel are sisters. Good. Each one of them get a servant, a slave, that marry Jacob too. Not marry, but become his wife. The servant of Rachel, her name is Bilhah. Bilhah. The servant of Bilhah. The servant of Leah is Zilpah. So far, so good? Name. Rachel died. The bed that used to be Jacob's bed, where was it all the time? In Rachel's tent. His bed was also in Rachel's tent. Rachel died. So he decided to take his bed and move it to her servant. So far, so good? He said, listen, the wife died. Now I have to put it at least next to a servant. Reuben see it. So what is that? My mother's still alive, Leah. Leah is not a servant. She's a gvira, meaning she's the master. She's like the one who's the sister of the one who died. He cannot move the bed to the servant tent. He took the bed, it's called Echlif et Amitot, and moved it into Leah's tent without asking his father. The only mistake he didn't ask his father. His father not dumb, because wherever the bed is, that's where Jacob will be. And that's the woman he will be with. So, Jacob, look at this. There's a big secret of Kabbalah. Beautiful. Jacob knew that there is two children more to come. He had 12 kids. But there is two. God tell him there is two more. I'm not going to go into details how it's in the Torah. Two kids more. Two souls, very great soul. He knew that it's supposed to come through Rachel. He didn't know how. When Rachel died, he said, okay, if it's not through Rachel, it's through her maid. So that's why he moved the bed into Rachel. Reuven say, no way. Some people love to disturb how things need to be. Why is Reuven did it? To protect his mom's pride. That's why the Talmud say he never sinned, because he did it for another person. He didn't know it for himself. Jacob didn't like him, and he told him, you're no longer my firstborn, even if he was the firstborn. Who became the firstborn right after that? Joseph. He lost his birthright at that moment. Joseph got it. Those two kids now was not born from Bilhah. Who gave birth to them? Joseph. It's a secret now. Does that mean that Jacob thought manifested in somebody else's body? Yes. Look how far it goes, guys. It's a mind-blowing. A tzaddik can give birth to a child without even making love to a woman. Somebody else can do the act, and that's the soul that the tzaddik brought to the world. Are you even understanding how powerful it is? I mean that some of us, you know, when your parents make love, it could be it was a tzaddik somewhere else, 100 years ago, 50 years ago. Meditate, and that soul will come to the world, your soul. That's how powerful it is. Menashe and Ephraim, what is telling him here? Now, the two sons were born you in Egypt before I came here, shall be considered mine. Lo shelcha, it's not yours. Mine children. I make love to my wife. Or is it my children? Look what he say. Shall be considered mine. Ephraim and Menashe. Shall be just like Reuven and Shimon. But look what he say. Any children that you have after them, that's how you know. However, shall be considered yours. Loshali, that's not mine. I know who's my children. Those are mine, are not yours. You were a vehicle. It's shocking. You are just a vehicle to do it. It says that tzaddikim melachtam ne'aseh al yedei acherim. Righteous people, all what they need to do can be done by others. They don't even have to be there. The angel make it happen. My dear friend, then why is Rachel mentioned there? Rashi said that Joseph was angry with his father. But he never told him. But Jacob read his mind. He said, Father, why is my mom not buried next to you in Machpelah? Machpelah, it's not that far. Derech Ephrata. Those of you who know Israel, it's not so far. By a donkey even you can make it. Just go all the way to the Machpelah and bury her there. Why you have to leave her on the street like that? You know, you've been in Israel. She's buried nowhere. If you cut the walls out and the house out, she's nowhere. Nothing. Every other tzaddik, boom. Bethlehem, right? I mean, beside today, it was no only days that people go to Bethlehem. Today, it's a big deal. But usually, nobody cares about it. What is it written? Those of you who know Megillat Echa, those of you who know about the destruction of the temple, it's written like that. And that's what Jacob tell Yosef, say, I'm telling you, you might not believe me. When the destruction of Israel will take place, they will need hope. Because they will be taken like slaves from Israel. And when Nebuchadnezzar, like the Nebuchadnezzar, in the dead time, the first temple, will take them out to slavery, to Iraq, to India, to all those places, they will need hope. The path that God showed me they will walk through will be through that path next to her. And then when they are going to see her, she just needs to see them through her grave, and they need to see her. And what is written, those of you who read on her grave, what is written on the grave of Rachel, if you want to see it? It says, Veshavu banim ligvulam. Rachel said, the children will always come back after they leave. Because I am a fighter. You know who is Rachel? She's a fighter. You don't mess with Rachel. You don't mess with Rachel. Because if you fall down spiritually and you don't know what to do, when you cry and you don't know what to do, you cry to Rachel. Say, Rachel, I'm losing it. I can't take it anymore. I need you. It's not just exile to Iran or something like this or to Rome. We talk about any exile you are in, you reach out to Rachel. So Jacob say, God show me that when people fall down, I need to bury her away from everything. Because when a person falls down, he doesn't fall next to a holy place. When you fall down, I don't know if you ever went to a dark place when you have doubts about God, you have doubts about everything, you have doubts about yourself. When you're really falling apart, you need help. Who are you reaching out to? You cannot reach out to the holy high priest to talk to and say, hey, then. You go to the lowest of the lowest. Rachel is there. Even she's righteous, she say, the lowest, I'm waiting for the person who falls the lowest, and I will make sure they pick them up. That's what the old red string tradition came from. Tomb of Rachel, red string. It's not just for protection. Most people don't even know the meaning. It's about having Rachel with you if you fall down. So she will be there for you. Because when you fall down, sometimes it's very difficult to go up. Very difficult. Those of you who ever fell. So that's the whole section here. So beautiful. And I want to share it with you because it's so profound. is to show you that within the Torah there is perfection. There's no mistake. So it's not just Rachel, eventually here, why eventually there. I just want to teach you like today a little bit how to study. Because this is even without Zohar. Can you imagine how far the Zohar will take us? So let's go to the Zohar now. Please.
The Holy One, blessed be He, matches couples before they come into the world. Men are given a wife they deserve according to their deeds.
This is all destiny. Again, what we're talking about is destiny, because you need to believe that there is destiny. There is destiny and you can shift it. Go ahead, please. I'm sorry.
And all men's actions are revealed to the Holy One, blessed be He. According to the deeds of the righteous, He matches couples before entering the world.
Can you imagine? Couples before entering the world. We believe in it, or we just enjoy reading it. I think we more enjoy reading it. It's fun. But when the push comes to shove, and you are alone, sitting on the bar, eating some peanuts and glass of beer, you start saying, can I read this section again? And you keep reading it, and you're crying. Because where is my part? So let's understand what happened. Go ahead.
Sometimes they are joined.
To wit,
it has been proclaimed before they came into the world that the daughter of so-and-so is destined for so-and-so. But when he was born, man perverted his ways. His spouse was then given to another until he rectifies his ways. If he does so by the time he is supposed to marry her, the other man is rejected and he comes to take what is his, which means that the other one who married his spouse before he made right his deeds is now rejected, namely dies, and he receives his spouse from him. This is the most difficult task for the Holy One, blessed be He, to banish one man because of another. Therefore, it is the Holy One, blessed be He, who gives a wife to man, and by Him couples are formed. Hence it says, but a prudent wife is from Hashem.
Now, it's a difficult section. It's very difficult. It's sad and it's disturbing. Let's put it this way. It's disturbing. But now we understand the concept of relationship. And what will be the verse that upset me the most when people come to see me? When people start to talk to me about how can I find my soulmate, usually if you want to know when I get the most angry, this is, I'm not showing it, but that upset me the most. If you want to know if I'm upset, my answer to you will be, first look for love, forget soulmate. That will be my answer. Because I find people who are belong to spiritual or religious group looking for soulmate. Why? Why are you looking for soulmate? Why? What for? What's the purpose there? Well, I want to be with what belongs to me. And you think God is around still? You think if that belongs to you, it will not find you? Look for love. Look to love. Look to receive love. That's the number one goal. If you will be in that stage, then soulmate will find you and you will find soulmate. But you want to find soulmate without the work. Spirituality and religiosity sometimes teach people in the wrong way. It's almost like, how can I have a shortcut to get what I want, when I want it, how I want it, because it's written. It's written, Eliyahu. Now I can hide. No, you look for love, guys. You look for love. It's written, if couples stay together 5 years, and it's working between them, and it's wonderful between them, they consider soulmate. Soulmate. If it's not working between them, and it's not working, and the wife wants a divorce, better to let go. Not to hold too long with that. Because you need to find love. The goal is love. Soulmate come after. If you look for soulmate, you're not looking for love. It's like these guys say, I want a soulmate. I gave a lecture for guys. Ah, soulmate, 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 soulmate. I said, well, your soulmate right now is 68 years old, and she has sugar problem, and she's 410 pounds. She's on the beach in Bahamas. I can give you her number. What are you talking about? Soulmate. She's born a little bit earlier, but that's your soulmate. Well, it's not, I don't think so. Why not? Because you're not looking for soulmate. You're looking for what? Your missing piece. But when you look for your missing piece, do you relate to the missing piece as part of what you're missing or as part that you are her missing piece? You understand? Are you completing her or she completing you? All POV mistake, point of view, you know? All this point of view, how you look at life from here. Love. Am I capable to love? Am I capable to receive love? Now start to connect. If there is no love, there is nothing. Nothing. Now, when you meet someone, show them love. Show them love. You're not missing anything. You don't losing anything. After what you show them love, many, many women, men said to me, you know, we're in a modern society. Now guys is not hitting on us. Can we ask the number? Can we? So do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. But what you do after is important. Who cares about the beginning? The beginning is over. We're in 2018, it's over. You're not in 1966 when you put the handkerchief on their shoulders and you are interested to dance with her. I don't know if you even know this tradition. You know? It's not like that. Things change. You can go, hey, I find you nice. Maybe after half an hour, I find you ugly. Goodbye. It's a fast pace. Everything moving fast. It's okay. Just use love. If love work, it's work. Let's continue with that, please.
Hence, the truth is that the Holy One, blessed be He, gives a man everything. If you say that He gives only a prudent wife and nothing else, come and see. Though the Holy One, blessed be He, prepares but goodness for men, if the man turns from the ways of the Holy One, blessed be He, to the other side, he will receive his due from the other side to which he cleft, together with accusations and evils. He does not receive them from the Holy One, blessed be He, but from the evil side to which he clung because of his deeds.
Beautiful. So beautiful, guys. It's so beautiful. Please listen, please. This love and relationship is gift from the Creator. Meaning, that if the person behaves spiritually, it working eventually. It will work eventually. But we want to steal what belongs to us. Maybe it belongs to you. Yes, it's yours. Don't take it. If you work on yourself spiritually, really work on yourself spiritually, it will find you and you will find it. Please understand, please.
Therefore, Solomon says of a wife who is not prudent, and I find more bitter than death the woman.
Can you imagine? Tough, huh? Tough verse. Women, it's not the chauvinistic side. I will explain it. Go ahead.
For one draws her to himself by the sins and deeds he commits instead of from the Holy One, blessed be He. Therefore, when the Holy One, blessed be He, takes pleasure in man because of his good deeds, he provides for him a prudent wife and redeems him from the other side.
So it seems here in the Zohar that the man is the one who decided if he meet is what is belong to him or not. If the man misbehaved, they send him a nightmare. Literally a nightmare from the dark side. Because that's what he deserved. But when a man is spiritual, so for the woman, if a man decides to leave, it's only for one reason. He doesn't deserve you. He doesn't deserve you. Or he deserves something worse. Or maybe you are the one who comes from the evil side. I don't know. Never thought about it. Never said it. It wasn't cute. So the idea is, based on the spirituality of the man, that's what's going to happen. So where does the woman play a role there? How does the woman play a role? Well, you carry also some tikkunim, some corrections, some different thing. But you have to understand that sometimes I see women compromise. If you see a man leaving you for another woman that you know it's the worst thing for him, and you are capable to help him to stay, not with you, but to stay away from that woman, do it. But a lot of women who lose a man just want him back. That doesn't come from a good side, come from the evil side. When you want the man to be back with you, just because he leave you, that's evil. But if you want the man to leave her, which is evil for him, just because it's bad for him, that's pure. That's pure, guys. We have to get into this. Women have to hear this lesson, and the men need to understand. If you feel that the woman you're with right now is not good for you, just look at yourself spirituality. How is your spirituality? Are you authentic with God? Are you real? Then don't expect good things to happen. You have to get fake things because you're fake. Because fake is affinity with fake people. You're going to get fake for fake. You be real, you get real. But it's not a punishment. It's what you're looking for. You're looking for that, that's what you're going to get. Let's continue with that, please.
Jacob therefore said, the angel who redeemed me from all evil means that I was not provided with a wife from the other side, and that my children were not defective, but they were all righteous and complete to perfection. Since Jacob was redeemed from all evil, the other side, and did not cleave at all to the other side.
And this verse, please.
Therefore, the angel who redeemed me from all evil blessed the lads. Wherefore are they worthy of being blessed? Because Joseph kept the holy covenant, concerning this, Joseph said, they are my sons, whom the Elohim has given me in this, to wit he showed him the secret of the covenant called this, which he kept. Since he observed this, his sons are worthy of being blessed. He deserves many blessings. Thus Jacob gave each one blessing, and to Joseph he gave many. This we derive from the verse, the blessings of your father are potent above the blessings of my progenitors. Blessings of the breast and of the womb shall be on the head of Joseph.
What is actually Jacob telling him? This is the blessing we all bless our kids. Today I was invited to bar mitzvah, so I blessed the bar mitzvah boy with that blessing. What is this blessing exactly? And what is the covenant? The covenant, my dear friend, is the brit. It's the circumcision. Do you know how you say the circumcision in Hebrew? Mila. Mila. Mila, almost like a Russian name. Mila. M-I-L-A. Mila. Do you know how you say words in Hebrew? Mila. Both the same thing. So what is the two restricted a person need to do to find soulmate? Only these two things. That's it. So easy, right? Words, you're speaking, how you speak, and how you deal with your situation, whatever you want to call it, Mila. Now, why is it so important? Why is it so important? Both action, for a man I'm talking about now, both action take things out. Blood and sperm, out. Whatever comes of you is no longer in your control. That's why I had a person who's talking, blah, 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 this is bad, this is bad, this is bad. So, and it was bothering me. I'm trying to meditate and pray. So I took his hand and I said, sir, is your brit okay? Did you circumcise yourself okay? He gets so scared. I mean, nobody asks you those kind of questions, right? It's a weird question. And so somebody who'd be next to me said to me, like, yo, what is that supposed to be? So the guy does speaking bad. Enough. I'm not a bad thing you have to say. Stop it. Check. This is the same thing. This is the same. What is can we learn from that? Soulmate, right? Relationship. Most people who restrict sexuality, they're restricted mostly from a manners point of view, from society manners, from morality, but not from spirituality. The restriction itself is not about like, oh my God, God will punish you. There is energy that you contain inside. It's coming from your words and sexuality. That's the only two things. Once you use that or that, you no longer have the same type of energy you had before. Now, we're living in a modern society. What do? You know, modern sex is on the open. You know, people just do sex, then they ask for the name. You know, before even they have the Facebook page already, you know. And words, people blah, 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 talking about what? What are you talking about? You ever listen to a conversation? Oh, my God, they say, blah, blah, blah. What happened? What did I accomplish in this conversation? Nothing. Nothing, you know. And the idea is you want to control everything, control these two, you control everything. This is the only two things that make you the most powerful person in the room. When you see a quiet person in the room, either is genius or stupid, you don't know. But if you see somebody who talk all the time, definitely stupid. Yeah. Remember, definitely stupid. Somebody, blah, 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 don't stop talking. Not stop talking. The word itself coming out. It's a problem. I'm not talking about teaching. I mean, I have to teach. I have to talk now. When people, you know, they've always have something to say enough already. So that means that area is damaged. That area is damaged. Gotta control it. Gotta contain it. When you control it, you can do much more. Much more. Okay? Start with the words. I know some of you already give me the look or you can take our sexuality away now. I got it. I got it. And I got it, people at home. But whatever you can do, do those two energy together, mix them, and understand that that's what Joseph did. That's what Jacob did. That's why he reached the highest level. And that highest level, it was like, wow, I can control everything. And then the soulmate relationship started coming because my energy is not out. It's inside. So I'm drawing the real part of my soul, what's called soulmate or love. But if that out, and that out, what's left of me is an empty shell. Yeah. And that empty shell can only draw another empty shell. But if I contain those two energy, which is hard, guys, because you have to know, in our society it's very difficult. If you don't like talk blah, blah, blah about nothing, it's difficult. You have to talk. Blah, 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 blah. Otherwise, you know? Yeah. I enjoy being quiet and like eat. For example, my thing is to eat. If I can go to a party and just test the food without people judging me, but because people know me, I have to say a few words for them. Ah, what are you doing? Very nice. Blah, 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 blah. But I really enjoy to have a corner, you know? Yeah. But the need to talk is to need to impress, to the need, all of those things. You know, and many, I was giving the same lecture to the guys, the lecture to the guys in North Hollywood on the mountain. So, it was 20 guys, all of them successful. So they talk about business and sex. Two subjects. Can you imagine? How is it connected? I didn't know, but that's how the lecture is energy. That's what they say. It's all power and energy, they call it. So I said, so guys, what you rather do now? Business meeting or make life to the most beautiful woman alive? They say business meeting.
Yeah.
I said, 20? So I raced. I did like, we have 20 from 20. So, okay, I got it wrong. So we start talking about it, and they cried. This was a beautiful evening. And then they said, yeah, you know, a lot of time in a sexual act, we feel like we need to impress. We need to do this. We need to do, you know, business with each other when we argument, there is something else, like you call it energy or power, that we cannot explain it. I feel society is pushing people, I believe, the way the modern society is pushing us too much to the direction of sex and too much to the direction of talk, to say things we don't want to say, to talk not the style that I want to talk, and to make love not the way I want to make love. We don't allow any longer to be who we are. And we're losing our real energy. If you want to bring back your energy, is watch what you say and watch what's happening there. Because this is the two most powerful things. Guys, it's getting late. So, is there a question for people at the internet? No? No question? So, I love you. I want to wish you a happy Hanukkah. Happy New Year. And next year, week, no lecture?
No lecture.
No lecture. Happy New Year.
New Year.
New Year, 2018, remember? A unique year is the year of 18. Chai. Vayechi. Chai. We're exactly in the right time. And remember, the next week, we're going to Exodus. And Moses is there. Meaning, that next week, you're going to find your Moses. You have a Moses inside of you. You have a Moses inside of you. Moses inside of you is the angel inside of you who's telling you how beautiful you are, how powerful you are. Like when Moses went to the snake, he went to the burning bush. He went to the burning bush, and the bush would never burn. Meaning you're going to some tough time, but nothing ever happened. It's an illusion. Find your Moses next week. It's internally. Find your Moses inside of you, not outside, inside of you. And find your authentic self, how powerful you are. Thank you.